Welcome to the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, where we unpack the big political trends and developments of the week. Ahead of the local government elections, the battle lines for control of South Africa's economic heartland, which is Johannesburg, are already being drawn. Hermann Mashaba, the city's former First Citizen, is one of those who have thrown their hat into the ring. Of course, Mr. Mashaba is our guest in this week's episode of the Politics Weekly.
I will not seek re-election for a third term as a DA federal leader at the party's upcoming federal congress.
We're not going to take over the country and then eat the money of the people. No, we're not.
You're dealing with Jacob Zuma. Every stage is a theater for him.
American business has always been here with us side by side. And even as we speak, they are here.
You cannot use the platform of the ANC to come and boo the ANC Secretary General because you are unhappy.
We are not going to have a parallel government run by Helen Zille. There's one president here, and that president is Cyril Ramaphosa.
We will not be bullied.
The people of Palestine, they're denied the right to enjoy the freedoms we so love.
Don't push me. I will talk.
Welcome to the Politics Weekly.
Thank you very much, Mike. Thank you, Sunday Times, for this opportunity to discuss the prospects for the upcoming local government elections. These elections, like the others before, you know, as a country, we find ourselves all the time facing elections. They become a defining moment for us. Instead of 32 years into a democratic dispensation, we should really be celebrating the fruits of democracy. Unfortunately, I think we've gone backwards. But I think fortunate some of us are still really very positive of the future for our country.
That's what we're going to be talking about in this episode, you know, to just get your views about what are the issues with Johannesburg, what is wrong with Joburg, and your ideas about how to turn it around and bring it back to its former glory, you know, as South Africa's economic heartland. Now, you've been mayor of Joburg before. Why are you wanting a second bite at the cherry?
Well, I think you remember in 2019, I was not given an opportunity to complete the five-year term. I left 3 years into my tenure as the mayor of the city of Johannesburg. Some evil forces, and I'll call them evil forces, planned my removal as a mayor. And fortunate enough, because I wasn't born yesterday, came across the secret meetings to remove me. And remember, I made it public that if these individuals come back into the political landscape, I would not personally want to be associated with them. And obviously, everything else is history because people of Johannesburg and South Africa asked me to start my own political party or formation. Now I'm a full-time politician. That capitalist head that I used to enjoy is behind me.
Now let's take a step back, you know, just for a minute. Your party has put you forward as its candidate, mayoral candidate. Some people have asked, you know, to say that you've had a chance, you've had a go at running Joburg. Couldn't Action SA find other leaders, you know, in its ranks to, you know, to have a go this time round?
Well, Mike, we tried. I remember last year we opened up the position, but at the end of the day, as a party, we realized Johannesburg is important. And we made it clear, and we were unapologetic to say to people of Johannesburg, we'll have to get another Nasipi Moya, Dr. Nasipi Moya, or get another Xolani Khumalo, our mayoral candidate in the city of Johannesburg. And I said, in the event we can't find another young Nasipi or Xolani, I was happy to make myself available. And as obviously, as you are aware, as much as yes, I served for 3 years, I only served, for 5 years, I only served for 3 years. And our party is only what? It's only 5 years old. So we're a new party. We're still mobilizing ourselves to really have a proper national footprint. But I think it's what's important is the city of Johannesburg is important.
Yeah.
Without Johannesburg working, the whole entire country is not going to work.
Yeah. But I wanted to ask you, I asked you earlier whether there couldn't be other leaders, you've got Michael Beaumont, you have got Terlin James, Lerato Ngobe, there are lots of leaders in Action SA. So does the party feel that they're not qualified?
No. God, all these guys you've mentioned are great leaders. I mean, without them, I can't lead. I will have no one to lead. I think when we finally made the decision, because obviously when all of us made ourselves available, the party then had to really ask all of us to put a turnaround strategy for the city. I had the advantage in the sense that I served for 3 years and we had to obviously put in the best. But that does not mean that the others are not qualified.
Okay.
I think I'm really more than proud, immensely proud of the people around. And actually, the four individuals from the party who made themselves available in case I was not prepared to take over the reins, because I had made it clear after the 2024 elections that I want to focus my energies on rebuilding the party from the ground up and deploy others. But then 2.5 years later, you've got local government elections. We couldn't get another Nasipi. And when we put Nasipi in Tshwane in 2024, October 2024, we took a hell of a gamble. I had confidence in Nasipi. The city of Tshwane, in terms of its finances, much worse than Johannesburg at the time. And I remember some of my colleagues were against the removal of that arrogant Celia Brink. But because of his arrogant behavior and attitude, we had to remove him. And I'm proud of that decision. And Nasipi Moyo is now providing the kind of leadership that is going to make my grandchildren actually proud for being who they are, because we are now demonstrating we can work in a coalition arrangement.
But your nomination, what was it? Some people say maybe it was a foregone conclusion because you are the founder of the party. I mean, some people have often said without Herman Mashaba, there's no Action SA really.
Well, we don't operate Action on the basis of what other people say.
You know?
I can tell you, if you're a human being, you operate on the basis of other people setting up your agenda. You've got problems. Action SA as a party operate like I do. I don't operate on the basis of what someone said I must do. I defied the evil system of apartheid that said to me, I can't go into business. At the age of 22, I decided I'm going to go into business. Yeah. So nobody decides for me.
Yeah.
No,
but the fact that you are the founder, would that have played a role?
What played the role is obviously my experience in managing complex businesses under difficult trying circumstances, and also being able to run the city of Johannesburg, running a 7-way coalition arrangement, dependent on our survival on the EFF, on voting with us on an issue by issue basis. EFF that, remember, initially they didn't want me. In fact, my own party that I was representing at the time were the most difficult partner in the arrangement.
Yeah.
And obviously, people are aware about the complexities that I was facing.
And the EFF factor, would you say, just for people who were not following at the time, would you say that it was a big factor in your departure from the DA?
No. In fact, the EFF, when I announced my departure, sent some of their leaders to ask me to stay.
Yeah, but inside the DA, you know, would that have been a factor for?
The people who engineered my departure were those who did not want me to provide services to poor communities, saying that why am I focusing too much of my attention to people who don't pay taxes, who don't vote for the DA. And I used to say to them, you know, I find it really very strange. I didn't actually take up this job to serve political parties. I took up this job to serve South Africans, everyone, regardless of your postcode. For me, you know, the inequality in my country, and if I look at these inequalities, these are man-made inequalities. And for anyone to tell me when I'm executing a constitutional obligation, because when you are a mayor of a city, your responsibility at the time of mayorship is not to serve only those who voted for you. You must serve everyone, particularly the vulnerable. And I think for me, those challenges, I found them deeply disturbing. That's why I did not want to associate with such people who feel that black people should not get their services because they are unemployed, they are uneducated. Okay. Because black people are not poor in Alexander or Soweto because they want to be poor. They are poor because of centuries of deliberate violence to make them poor. And I think for us as South Africans, those who are privileged, we have an obligation to do something about this.
We've got a lot of ground to cover, so I'm going to try and hurry us up, you know, to cover as many points as we can. Let's start with Joburg. You know, in your view, what is wrong with the city? Everyone is unhappy with it.
Joburg,
you know, everyone
is in
who works
Joburg
and lives
is in a
here
mess.
Is unhappy. What would you say is wrong with this city?
Well, I think if I say briefly, then people will not really have an understanding. Johannesburg, it's broken. It's in a mess. It does not really have a leadership. We have a mayor because we have one who has elected in power. We have a mayoral team. I normally just see one or two. The rest, I don't know if we do have them or not. I look at the state of our roads. The taps are running dry. At the same time, the Vaal River is overflowing. I mean, we've been lucky the last few years as Johannesburg, where we've had excellent rains. But our taps are dry. Our road infrastructure, our electricity. We've opened our borders, bringing unacceptable criminals into our country, and we sit back. They take over the jobs of South Africans. They give them rotten, expired foods. They give them drugs. And I think these are things that the city of Johannesburg is not putting focus on. But I think it's because these people are not in politics to serve society. I think I'm convinced, and there's a reason why from the beginning when I joined politics, realizing that we're sitting with a problem of people who are in politics as a way to make money. In the meantime, we live in a capitalist free market economy. I don't understand if you want to make money, why don't you go into business instead of using a political route?
Because you've mentioned leadership, the problem of leadership. You've mentioned the problem of infrastructure. You've mentioned the problem of immigration. All of that. What about the finances? How are you going to fix the finances? Because part of the problem with the city is its inability to collect what is due.
Well,
to it.
You can't fix finances if your position in political office to go and steal it. So how are you going to fix it? There's just no way you can really fix the finances of the city if obviously your agenda is to go and steal it. And that's where the problem is. The city of Johannesburg finances can be fixed. Mike, please look at my end of term report if you've not followed up the tenure when I was the mayor. You remember, by 2019... that year before I left, we used to have every month record-breaking revenue collection. It did not happen by chance. It happened because I put in measures in place, put in professional people fighting corruption in the 3 years, managed to fire. I fired three of my MMCs. I'm sure I'm the only mayor in the country. My party being against it, ending up with my party that used to accuse, or in fact, even today, accuse ANC people by not removing people. Every time, and for me, I made it clear to my party at the time to say, guys, I'm not asking for your permission to fire these people unless you are telling me this forensic report is not credible. If you don't, I'm just really informing you, this is not a party matter. This is a government matter. Unless you are telling me this is not credible. As far as I'm concerned, if you don't want me to fire these guys, I'm out. And I'll tell society about it. But ending up with the very same people, the party would allow them to continue as councillors because I had no right to fire them as councillors. I fired and arrested over 900 people in the 3 years for fraud and corruption. 35 billion rands of fraud and corruption cases in the city of Johannesburg. So by 2029, we were getting on top of it because a lot of properties taken off our billing system because of the level of corruption. We managed to actually pick up this and we were bringing them back into the system. A lot of companies and households illegally connected to our infrastructure where they were not really paying, brought them back. And also at the same time, because when you have good governance in a city, you attract investment. When I took over in the three years, the first year investment in the city of Johannesburg, when I took over with already an approved budget, we achieved 4.5 billion rands. My second year, 2017-2018, investments in the city of Johannesburg, just over 9 billion rands. The third year, just over 17 billion rands of investment. Please check those figures with the Auditor General. Don't check them with me. And now you ask yourself, this wasn't happening by chance. It was happening because I was working with the private sector. I was dealing with what we call the rule of law. Because if you want to build a city or you want to build business, you need a certainty.
I wanted to ask you, you know, one of the challenges in the city right now is with revenue collection of people that like large areas of the city where people are not paying, you know, either the rates or not wanting to pay for services. And it has to be said that even in the rich areas, you know, there have been instances, you know, where we've seen that people are, there's a culture of not wanting to pay. How are you going to deal with that?
Well, exactly what I did when I, in the 3 years I was the mayor. I found big companies. Big properties, which because of the level of corruption, some of them actually completely taken off our billing system. Some of them actually connected to our city and our water and electricity without paying. Some of them, their valuation, a 120 million rand property will be valued at 20 million rand. All these things took a long time for me to really be on top of it. But because I'd managed to put in a professional public service, remember 2 weeks after taking over, I came out and announced after spending a week with the city manager, Trevor Fowler at the time, and the top management. And I got them to commit to my 10-point plan. And one of the plans was that, guys, we must do a skills audit because I want to make sure that people who are in jobs are in jobs because of what they know, not who they knew. So once you put together a professional public service, you declare corruption public anyone in me number one, and you manage consequences, whether positive or not negative. Those who steal public monies or they don't work, I get rid of them.
That is inside the city.
Yeah.
But outside the city, I was asking, how are you going to make sure that people pay what is pay the city what's due to it?
But,
whether
but,
they are in Denfern or whether they are in Soweto
But Mike, we mustn't be naive that but the criminal elements will come in because they've not really been paying. One day they just show up themselves.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. We have to be naive.
Yeah.
We need the decisive leadership that is going to declare war on this.
Mm.
And now this time around, you can imagine. When I first became the city of Johannesburg, I declared that I had no idea what the mayor does. I came into politics because I was really very angry and I didn't want to leave my country. And I decided, if not me, who? This time around, Mike, I've got 3 years experience of the city. That's the reason why I managed to convince my guys when my other colleagues made themselves available. With the turnaround, because for me, I'm not going to start from scratch. Already, I know where the loopholes are. I know where the cadres are hiding. And the very same cadres, some of them that have actually laid criminal charges against them, and they were charged, some of them, obviously, because of the capture of our criminal justice system, even up to today, they were not charged. They are back in the city. And I'm warning them.
Yeah.
I'm already sending a signal that in the event people of Johannesburg give me the mandate to be the mayor, as soon as I'm sworn in, they must run before I come in. Those that know that I was responsible for getting them out, because I don't want to waste time going through disciplinary hearings, because as soon as I left, they were brought back.
Would you be open to looking at the rates in Joburg? In other words, bringing them down because
you can't just look at
the cost of electricity, looking at the cost of.
But Mike, you can't just really look at the business or look at the city in such simple terms.
Yeah.
You know, to promise people I'll reduce rates.
Yeah. I thought that would be part of what you've been thinking about.
You can only be able to reduce the rates once you improve your revenue collection. Make sure that everyone pays.
Yeah.
You have more businesses. You have more developments in the city. In that way, you'll be able to reduce the rates. But I can't go in or make a promise to the residents of the city of Johannesburg that I'm going to reduce your rates when at the moment I'm not on top of the numbers. Because even the numbers that are presented to us right now, do you trust them? In fact, up to 2 weeks ago, the city of Johannesburg, remember, they're supposed to have submitted their last year's financials by end of January. 2 weeks ago, they had not submitted them as yet. So what I'm trying to say is that this is not an academic or theoretical matter. I think I need to be in that system.
Okay.
I need to ensure that I do an audit of everything. So that when I make promises or I don't make promises, I make such statements at the basis of facts.
Right now,
I will really be giving an academic answer.
Okay.
What I believe I need to do, put together a team of top 10 MMCs and myself. Everyone must hit the ground running. We've got to get a very competent city manager committed to fighting corruption. I must make sure that one of the promises I'm making to the residents of the city of Johannesburg is that this city entities like Joburg Water, City Power, and so forth, I've got to collapse them. I'm promising people of Johannesburg.
How do you mean you're going to collapse them? You mean
to collapse the boats? What you do? The city power as an electricity supply agency of the city will be led by an executive director with a management team reporting directly to the city manager.
Or instead of having it as a separate entity.
Yeah, no, as a separate entity. Why I'm saying so is because, firstly, you're wasting money by paying people who are not adding any value. They delay the process. So you can take that money, whatever quantum it is, that money can go into servicing the residents, go and fix water pipes and sewer pipes, our roads and so forth. Secondly, also very important is that it's going to speed up our attention to the issues facing our residents. To give you an example, right now with the current situation in the city of Johannesburg, I'm the mayor, I receive a query that there's a water-based pipe somewhere. I've reported to the city manager. The city manager must then report it to the MD or whatever. The MD must then talk to the board. Whereas, you know what, wasting time. That these boats are not adding any value. In fact, I'm openly saying they're a liability to the residents of the city of Johannesburg.
So it's things like city power, pick it up, all the housing company and all of that.
All of them must fall directly under the city manager. Okay. But they must have, obviously, there's got to be one who's an executive director.
Oversees
that. It must be a Section 56 manager reporting to the city manager. Mm-hmm. So that we every time a complaint comes through, it comes to my attention. I speak to the city manager. City manager can speak to this executive director. Then we can deal with the matter as a matter of urgency. I have an issue with this executive director or someone being involved in corruption or being inept in their duty. I can directly make sure that I can apply the consequence management if they perform well. Because for me, consequence management is not only for negative. It's, you know, those who do well, you recognize them.
They get rewarded, but,
you must reward them. And those who are in these jobs to come and steal, we must be able to deal with them. Mm. So I think once you can do that, you will see that the machine will move much quicker than the first time around. Because the first time around, I came there quite blank about how government works or municipalities work. Mm. The biggest metro. Now, I don't believe there's any mayor in this country that knows the city than I do. Mm. Why I can qualify this? That when I came into the city of Joburg, discovered first few months, because as soon I took over in August of 2016, and I inherited a budget which was passed by the previous administration, and I had to run with this budget until June of 2017. But the laws allow you to have an adjustment budget by end of February at the latest, but you are not allowed to have more than 10% adjustment. So while working on our adjustment budget, this CADAS discovered that the mayor had no participation.
When you're saying CADAS, you mean ANC members?
Yeah, the senior managers, literally all of them. They had no. They were the ones actually preparing a budget for the mayor, because the mayor was most of the time out of the country. Was traveling the world, and obviously they had the majority, and the majority of their members were just voting cattle, not really questioning. They were quite surprised when I started my first engagement to prepare the adjustment budget. I called them in. They just could not understand. They says, "No, I'm interfering." I said, "What the hell are you talking about? I'm interfering. who's in charge of delivering services to the residents. Mm. When there's an issue, when the taps are dry, when street lights are not working, when the roads are we've got potholes, or when people are being killed, when the city's not providing employment. I said, if you think you're the one putting together the budget, go and put up your posters, go and campaign. Mm. Mm. You're going to run a budget based on my political
program.
Mm-hmm. You as a professional civil servant. Mm. And they had to learn the hard way. Mm. Some of them tried every trick in the book, including sabotaging us. Mm. I don't know if you remember, I wanted to collapse these entities then. Mm. But because the law gives you a year, if you want to obviously change the structure of the municipality, mm. you've got the first 12 months. Mm. If you failed, unfortunately, you've got to run. Mm. The cadres sabotaged the paperwork ended up not being able to collapse the entities. But this time around, I can tell you, I want to promise
you'll be
residents.
Ready for them.
No, I'm saying I want to promise the residents of Johannesburg. Mm. If it's not going to be in the first sitting of council, the second one at the latest, I'm going to present a report if I'm given the mandate. Mm-hmm. Even if it means I must call a special sitting mm-hmm. of council mm-hmm. just to discuss the report to collapse these entities. Right. Because for me, it's urgent. Because I'm not going to allow cadres to sabotage me. Mm-hmm.
Not this time around.
Not this time around.
Yeah. Let's talk the politics. I think all of us accept that we are in a phase in our politics where coalitions are going to be critical. You know, they're going to be like a key feature of our politics in South Africa. Well, and your party has been part of, in one way or the other, part of that process since it was formed, you know, in coalitions. And I'm sure you've gained a lot of experience in dealing with and insights in what is good with the, what has been good with the coalitions and what have been the problems. Can you share your views? Have they been good for us?
I think South Africa has entered an era of coalitions, whether we like it or not. I think political parties or politicians like myself, I would like to get the outright majority. What are the chances? I think very slim. Mm. So I think I personally embrace coalition. Mm-hmm. And I've had a privilege to run coalition. I know the difficulties, the challenges, but at the same time, I recognize the opportunities. If you look at how Tswan is operating, mm-hmm. that framework was already set from Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. Because I had to make sure that we as a party made sure that Dr. Nasipi Moya, when you run a coalition arrangement, mm-hmm. please make sure that you take your coalition partners with you. Mm-hmm. Be open, be transparent, be respectful. Mm. And that's why that coalition in Tswane managed to turn that city around just under a year. Because what they've achieved, it's a miracle. Mm. The city of Johannesburg, city of Tswane, as compared to the city of Johannesburg, finance-wise, the city of Tswane was in a worse situation.
A lot of people, I hear about Tswane. And I know it's almost like your poster city, you know, or mayoralty. But coalitions, I'm sure you'll agree, have not been kind to Johannesburg.
Well, I can tell you,
change of leadership that kind of thing, and that direction which is not very clear, etc.
Okay, Mike, I just want to really challenge you, the media community, to be completely objective. Mm. Go and do a research to see the person behind the collapse of the city of Johannesburg in particular. Mm. The common denominator has always been Helen Zille. Mm. The city of Johannesburg, it started with me because she's the one who engineered my removal, approaching the ANC with the Institute of Race Relations. Mm. With the support of DA councillors. Mm. And obviously, I came to know about it before the motion of no confidence came, and then I left. And since then, all hell broke loose. DA voting for Jeff Makubu. And then let's fast forward to 2021. Action SA, the third big, emerging as the third biggest party, as I'm talking to you, we are the third biggest political party in the city of Johannesburg. We dropped both ANC and DA support base in the Johannesburg by over 30%, both of them. They had, ANC had 124 councillors, DA, when I was the mayor, 104. How many do they have today? ANC has got 70, and DA has got 70 councillors. So, and Action SA, third biggest political party, followed by the EFF, fourth biggest party, by 29 councillors. What we decided to do as Action SA, after the election, I said, I'm not giving my vote to the ANC because I'm concerned about their level of corruption. I will give, as much as I've got issues with the DA, it's not all the DA people are like Helen Zille. There are lots of progressive people within the DA who are quite aware of the issues of South Africa. I said, let me take Helen out of this. I'll give our vote to the DA. And that's exactly what we did.
But there's Helen still instability in Job.
Helen was against Helen's wishes. You remember that Monday when we had the election of the mayor, they put forward Dr. Palazzi.
Yeah.
We didn't put anyone. I personally, on that Monday, mobilized other parties, Freedom Front Plus, EFF, IFP. IFP was on the other side, and so forth. I said, guys, Helen Zille is putting up her own candidate with no numbers. At the time, they had 71 councillors, and right now they've got 70. She didn't want to talk to anyone. And you need 136 councillors to be able to pass. So that Monday morning, I phoned other parties, spoke to my party. I said, no, guys, let's avoid having ANC government. We voted for DA here in Johannesburg, in Ekurhuleni. The following day, Tuesday, we voted for the DA in Tshwane. And we put Dr. Palazzi here in the city of Johannesburg. And who engineered removal? Helen Zille collapsed the mayoral.
Is it that powerful?
But it is there. That's what it says. Do your own follow up.
I'll ask her, because we're going to be talking to her at some point.
She collapsed. You know, she collapsed Johannesburg. She collapsed. She first collapsed Ekurhuleni. She collapsed Johannesburg. But what is very interesting was Tshwane.
Before we go to Tshwane, you know, I hear what you're saying about what you characterize as Helen Zille's role. But don't the other parties in the coalition in Johannesburg have to take responsibility for changing mayors, giving us people like Thapelo Ahmad as mayor, of thing?
No. If ever Helen Zille had supported Mpho Palazzi, the city of Johannesburg would still be run by Dr. Palazzi up to today, because we had enough numbers to keep Palazzi in place. But Helen Zille refused to get the support of other political parties, and they ended up going to the ANC camp. You can't blame the ANC. It's their problem. I'm talking about things that us and the DA had control over. So what I'm trying to say, who's the person who collapsed this administration?
Let me ask you this, because you keep introducing her in the thing. I was going to talk about her much later. She, as things stand now, it looks like, you said that before we started our conversation, you said the campaign is going to be a bruising one. And I agree with you. And it looks, as things stand now, that, you know, we don't know who the ANC is going to be fielding. You know, we'll see later. But the two people that we clear are going to be central to the contest for Joburg is you and Helen Zille. Now, how would you characterize your relationship with her? I mean, is there personal animosity?
No, I'm angry with her. The city, its way it is today. Our residents, the 6 million residents, are suffering today because of her. It is because of Helen Zille that the city of Johannesburg is where it is. You know, when I was the mayor, you remember when I left, I'd already, through council, approved 154 buildings, given them to the private sector for development. Where we were going to bring in 32 billion rands of private sector investments, already passed by council. In fact, some of the properties I'd already done sorting. The city at the time was this 154 buildings were going to create a minimum of 22,000 permanent jobs. They were going to create 14,500 housing opportunities, something historical that had never happened. Because as you are aware, housing is a national competency. Mm-hmm. But I realized I had over 300,000 housing backlog, and relying on 300,000 rents from national government, you can only at the most build RDP houses. That's when I saw a huge opportunity by taking over the city. I had already identified over 600 buildings. It's on record.
I used to share this
monthly. Remember, I used to have monthly press briefings about the developments identified, and I had committed, I'm on record every month to say, this is the beginning. I had committed that the next 2 years of my mayoralty, I will release a minimum of 100 properties. The last council meeting I attended, even after I resigned, I presented a report to council of expropriated 37 properties in Wynberg, in and around Sandton, Alexander, where I wanted the city to give them to the private sector for housing development. Unfortunately, all that, as soon as that report was put aside. But coming back, I can tell you I don't have to start from scratch. Okay. I want that report back into council, and I'm going to hold officials and politicians who did not execute a council-approved report.
Still with the politics. So essentially, you're saying you don't have a problem with the DA itself, except for Helen Zille.
No, I think let me tell you the final blow, which is also on record. Your own paper reported about this. When we managed to convince the PA to come to our side, Dr. Kone Molde from the Freedom Front, please feel free to ask him. He facilitated this meeting with us and the Patriotic Front that we support Dr. Palazzi to take over the city. The DA team in that meeting, John Steenhuisen was in that meeting. They agreed. Because PA said no, for them to come and join our coalition, they want two mayoral candidates positions. Us as Section SA, being the third biggest political party with 44, the second in the coalition, we only had three positions. We said, you know what? To avoid ANC coming back, we'll give the two positions to PA. We as a section, as I say, with 44 councillors, we said we're happy to have one. They agreed. We were going to have a press conference on Friday. When this matter was brought to Helen Zille, she rejected that proposal that she will not want to work with the PA. And the manner in which they did it. They used Solim Simanga before the press conference to insult the PA, calling them mapandit, corrupt people, and so forth, that they will never do a transaction like that. But here is it today in the national, in the GNU, they are working with with the PA.
Yeah. Before we run out of time, I wanted us to touch on a couple of things relating to Johannesburg itself, which are like pain points to the citizens of Johannesburg. Just to get your views, you know, very, very briefly. Public transport. What are your plans for public transport in Johannesburg?
Public transport, Mike, is one of the sole issues that it's going to take time to resolve in the city of Johannesburg, because as much as it's a competency, this Rea Vaya bus system, I honestly cannot understand in the life of me why national government gave this to the taxi industry. It's beyond me. You get allocation of money for the Rea Vaya, but ultimately the whole project is run by the taxi industry. You can't do anything. You can't really change those plans, because the money comes from national treasury, and you've got to use it as per their mandate. Mm-hmm. You can't deviate from that. So it's going to be a huge challenge. I'm on many platforms when I was the mayor, trying to engage PRASA to reopen the rail network, so that people of Soweto, like in the past, can have the trains running between Soweto and Park Station, and Park Station to Johannesburg, Germiston, Natalspruit, going up to Vereeniging, like we had in the past. Unfortunately, it's not the competency of the city. So that one, it's a difficult one. It'll need national intervention. Will the GNU listen to us? We'll try. I tried them the first time around when I was the mayor. I was not successful for them to allow us as a city to give us complete mandate to run the transport network without giving us precondition how we must use that money. So it is a huge challenge, but it can be solved as long as national government can give us, as a city, give us money, and we as a city can really do what is in the best interest of our city. Unfortunately, at the moment, you get allocation from National Treasury, but you can only give that money to the taxi industry.
And you thought you would see something like Rea Vaya living side by side with City Bus, for example?
You know, right now, I live in Sandton. I don't know, it took what 15 years or so to eventually have the Rea Vaya coming into Sandton. And Mike, please go and see. Just go and wait on Catherine Street. You see buses running empty. People of Alexander are walking from Alexander to Sandton, or people of Soweto are still using their taxis, expensive taxis. They're not aware of you can catch a Rea Vaya from Soweto into town, and then get one from Soweto to Sandton. Unfortunately, do we have an MMC of transport? Do you have the mayor that is aware about this? I've tried so many times on social media asking this to the city of Johannesburg, because I live right now going home. I'm going to be passing buses, literally empty, one, two people. But the taxis are full. People are walking every day from Alexander. The women, some of them pregnant, have to walk from Alexander to this thing. The buses are running empty.
Where is it all going wrong?
I don't know. Do we have MMC of transport? The mayor, you know, every time when you ask them what's happening, they think you are politicking. But it's a political matter. You know, sometimes, you know, South Africans, we can be naive. When you have a political challenge, people say, no, you must find a mathematical solution.
Mm.
When you're confronted with a political matter, you find a political solution. This requires a political intervention. You and I can't really solve that matter until such time that we can deal with the elephant in the room, as I've indicated to you, how the Reavaya system runs.
Okay.
It is controlled by... It's public monies, but the entire system is run by the taxi industry with the mandate of the national national government.
Okay, let's talk about another area of pain for citizens: water. To your mind, how can we resolve the problems of water in Joburg?
Well, it's easy but difficult because you need the money. The city of Johannesburg in the last 30 odd years, I always use this as an example, and I think it's a practical example. I'm a practical man. In a complex where I live right now in Sandton, that piece of land in the past used to be owned by one person. Today you've got 17 or 18 houses. Now you look at, and this got the approval of the city of Johannesburg, but they gave the approval for the developers to develop. And right now, there's a huge development of in front of my house. That property, actually, that one they bought one or two stands and built massive housing development. But the infrastructure outside, I can tell you it's a kind of infrastructure because that that suburb was built before I was even born. I'm 66 years old. So the pipes are the pipes which used to supply one or two families at the time. Today, I've given an example. So, and also it is obviously small pipes. Every second day, if not every day, there's a pipe burst or leak somewhere. We lose water like nobody's business. Remember when I was the mayor, by the time I left, what, I think 88 kilometers of new, bigger water pipes I'd already installed. I moved our infrastructure spend. When I took over, the budget that I inherited in when I took over, only 53% was going towards infrastructure. By the time I left, that in the investment had gone up to 71%. These are records, so please get the Auditor General to give you the report. And we were collecting money. We were diverting money from what I used to call vanity projects into investments. So the Vaal River, it's overflowing. It's not full. It's overflowing. But the problem, it's our infrastructure maintenance and upgrading. You look at all the developments, Bestaine City and all these massive developments. But at the end of the day, the city, the government's infrastructure, still infrastructure built before my time. In fact, you look at some of the, you know, I don't know how many substations are upgraded. So, because when I took over with having massive electricity blackouts, only to discover that some of the substations were built before my time. We could not even get the space any longer. So I had to invest money in upgrading, building new ones. So these things can be solved, but you need the money. But I think it starts with the political will. In fact, it starts with the voters, particularly black voters. I'm appealing to them to say, guys, if you're not going to stand up for your country and you think you don't trust politicians, one thing you must accept is that whether you go and vote or not, there will be government. And we have experienced, we must be so grateful as South Africans to Lieutenant General Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi. That man, as far as I'm concerned, was sent by God to open our minds. Because by you not voting, we end up our country being taken over by criminal syndicates.
What would you do with the CBD of Joburg? Because it seems to be going down the tubes.
Oh, remember the inner city rejuvenation plan?
Mm.
I told you about it, that there's a plan already approved by council.
Mm-hmm.
So it just needs to be dusted up.
What
I need to do is the first day I get into office, our JPC must bring that report to me, and they must tell me why they stopped those developments.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to, you will see there will be
blood. For people who don't know, I mean, the what kinds of developments, for example, you know, were being planned?
Because the ones already passed by council,
mm-hmm.
I told you, 154 mm-hmm. buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Those reports, I shared them with the media, with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
154 properties were already awarded to the private sector through
mm-hmm.
council,
mm-hmm.
to the where the private sector was going to invest minimum of 32 billion rands. They were going to create 22,000 jobs. They were going to create 14,500 housing units for students and poor people. Because I insisted with the private sector that the city of Johannesburg is not going to be like Cape Town.
Mm.
There's conditions for us to give you this property on a long lease. 30% of the units must go to low-income earners and our students. And all the time when, remember, this 154 properties, I used to bring them to council in batches. And every time from the first batch, we were oversubscribed. All that, and with companies that had the balance sheet, they had the backing, they had the right credentials. So that's why I'm saying is some of them where I actually did sort turning, never took off, because when I left, Jeff Makubu said to JPC that the report must be put aside. It was a Hermann Mashaba project. And that project is not mine. It was a project of the people of Johannesburg. You can imagine if my tenure as a mayor was not disrupted, where will that city be? That's why I'm angry. But I'm not the kind of person just being angry and being angry. I put into expression by making sure that I come back and finish the job that I started in 2016.
Mm.
This time with a party that shares the same values.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, unfortunately, in 2016, I went in, I can say blindly, because I think I was misguided when I saw people like Musi of this world. I thought this is a transformed organization.
Mm.
I did not really realize that this is the party, some of its leaders who don't really share the plight of people who look like me.
Mm. Just the last thing about the CBD. Do you see business coming back into,
actually,
a lot of them have gone the other way?
The reason why I'm coming back is because I know the appetite of the private sector for the redevelopment of the city.
Mm.
The only thing they need a mayor who can help to clear up that mess.
Mm.
I must get rid of all this undocumented foreign nationals, because when I started raiding those buildings in 2016, 2017, I used to find up to 80% of the people in these buildings being undocumented foreign nationals.
Mm.
So I have to get them back to their countries to open up space for South Africa, allow the private sector to build affordable accommodation for South Africans.
Mm.
So the private sector appetite to revive the city of Johannesburg. Mm. That's why I said to you earlier on, Mike, the 154 buildings in the 3 years, all the time oversubscribed.
Mm.
And the records are there. There's no media house that never used to cover, because Mike, I used to have monthly briefings to give you the state of the city, allow the media to ask questions on the progress and the challenges.
Mm.
And I'll... If given the opportunity, I will run the government in that transparent manner.
Mm.
But this time, lucky, is that I've got 3 years of experience.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got unfinished business.
Maybe before we wrap up, you know, if one looks at how Joburg has developed or not developed, or more like how it has sprawled, what's your message to the people who still today are living so far away from their places of work and they spend so much money? You know, people in Orange Farm who have to like pay a lot of money, you know, commuting to work back and forth.
Up to 60%. I did a study, up to 60% of people actually, their meager salaries being spent on public transport. You can imagine someone from Dobsonville, Soweto, working in Sandton. You know how many transport he has to change?
Or Orange Farm.
Or Orange Farm, for that matter, up to 60 kilometers. You can imagine someone from Orange Farm working in Midrand. You know?
How would you help those people?
That is why I need this inner city development. I need the inner city. I need the Randburg. I need Roodepoort. The buildings which are hijacked, to turn them into massive housing opportunities, to ensure that our people can be closer to their work opportunities. It's actually quite sad what the ANC has done in terms of special planning. Did Western apartheid in taking our people even further away from job opportunity, job opportunities with this failed RDP housing? One of the things that
RDP housing has been a success.
No, it's been one of the biggest failures of ANC. One of the biggest.
Why do you say that?
How many of them today are still up? Just those houses are less than 30 years old. How many of them are still up? And then where are they built? How much did they cost? RDP house, if you look at what it has cost the government, more than double if you had allowed the private sector or allowed individuals to build for themselves, or you had taken corruption out of the mix. So I think this was a real terrible bad move. Instead of building high-rise buildings closer to the people, take the city. Look at Carlton Center. You know, hardly 10 years into a democratic dispensation, the top hotel closed. 10 years into a democratic dispensation, it's been lying empty for now what, more than 20 years.
Yeah,
wasted. We just killed DJ Waters late last year in one of the buildings next to them, and that's why on Saturday I promised his family, because they came to my announcement that I'm gonna make sure that DJ Waters' murder is not going to be in vain. Because I once missed one of his interviews where he was calling on me to come and help him raid. Though I did not obviously have the capacity. Even, you know, I only saw it when, because this was brought to my attention after his murder.
But even if
I had it on time, what could I do as an ordinary citizen? You can imagine. The mic. I had problems in the beginning of raids where the Gauteng province and national government were refusing to provide subs to join us. They were refusing to give us home affairs to accompany us because you need the subs to permission support to assist JMPD. And you can imagine when I took over JMPD, the leadership of JMPD were people who had no police experience whatsoever. There were cadres, but all these things.
You don't like cadres, eh?
No, cadres destroyed our city and our country. And this country has got potential. Look at I'll keep using Tshwane as an example, because it's a living current issue where you look at how Action SA, ANC and EFF, we're working in concert. We are all for all the residents. You see Harangua. I can tell you, go to Harangua now. You're going to find the projects underway. You go to Waterkloof. since 2016, people of Amanskraal, where I was born, Harangua, where I started my business, 2016, never saw government services.
Just to end, to wrap our conversation, one of the things that you did as mayor of Joburg in your quest to stamp out corruption was to appoint Shadrack Sibiya.
Yes, absolutely.
Looking at, and you were very glowing when you appointed him. I mean, you were very glowing about his credentials, etc. Looking at how things have turned out now, do you regret that decision or not?
I can't regret it because I was not the one responsible for his direct appointment. I just fired someone who was in charge of the audits supposed to be dealing with cases of corruption, and only to discover that she was one of the people involved in corruption. I fired these individuals. And I decided with my team that, you know, the best way is to form an anti-corruption unit and prepare the report, took it to council, city manager, then advertise the post, and I was given the General Sibiya. And before starting work, remember I called the press conference to introduce him before he could start work.
Yeah, I remember that.
I called the press conference with all the files. I said, there's a reason why I formed this unit. But I look at it in retrospect. I'm saying to myself, we need an anti-corruption unit.
Still.
This time around, I've got to be very careful because our criminal justice system, it's infected with criminals. So what I need to do this time around, we will revive that unit. But this time, I'm going to ask the city manager, demand the part of the report which I will take to council for the recruitment of the head of this anti-corruption unit must be interviewed in public. You see how you interview judges or so. I would want that kind of situation so that I don't end up with the kind of person because I did not know Sibiya. I know him professionally. But at the end of the day, the appointment is done by the city managers, not done by me as the mayor. They are the ones who decide. But this time around, because I need, that unit has got to be led by an ethical, corrupt, free person. So this time around, as I say, I promise I will do instead of regretting because it's not something that I can regret. And the guy did very well. I don't know, so far if there was any corrupt activities during my tenure in the city of Johannesburg. So far, I mean, I follow the events. The only thing I hear about, I heard about this many years after I left, that there was some kind of equipment that he bought to do whatever. Obviously, those things were far away from me. That is why it's important that this time around, where I'm going to demand the city manager with the appointment of this person, with the panel and the interview, in people that they interview them. They must interview them in public.
Okay.
So that
it must be
an open process. Like that, so that I don't end up with another Shadrack Sibiya kind of case.
Okay. That's where we're going to be wrapping up our conversation. We've just about run out of time. And I'd like to thank you very much, Hemen Mashaba, the mayoral candidate of Action SA. And good luck in the campaign that is going to be heating up.
Thank you so much.
In the next couple of months.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at the first decay of our city, you'd really wish that the sooner we can have the date announced, the better, so that we need to rescue the city.
Okay. And I'd like to thank our viewers for joining us on the Politics Weekly. For our conversation with Hemen Mashaba, who, of course, is Action SA's mayoral candidate in the forthcoming local elections. And we thank you very much for watching. And until next time, you must remember to stay safe, stay blessed, and let's continue doing good for our country. My name is Mike Siluma.